Hello and welcome to the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. It is April 1st. We have not one, but two Tri-State teams still playing basketball. And that is no April Fool's joke. My name is Brian Dinovellis. We have UConn in the Final Four of the NCAA, Seton Hall in the Final Four of the NIT. First time they've gotten this far since 1953. And back then, the NIT, in a lot of ways, was better than the NCAA tournament. Seton Hall finished that year number two in the country behind Indiana, which won the NCAA tournament that year. That was then. This is now. We're going to talk both Final Fours with ESPN broadcaster and former St. John's coach Fran Fraschilla. He'll be announcing the games on ESPN Tuesday and Thursday. But before we bring in the coach, first, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, the North Jersey Vipers Softball Club. They are one of the premier softball clubs in all of New Jersey. They have a proven track record for getting players to the next level, D1, D2, and D3. Get in touch with my man, Bob Germano, the owner and manager of the club at NorthJerseyVipers.com. All right, let's bring on the coach, Fran Fraschilla, who's in Indianapolis for the NIT. He'll be calling the NIT semifinals and the championship game at historic Hinkle Fieldhouse for ESPN and ESPN2, along with Mike Corey. Coach, it's Easter Monday, so I'll still say happy Easter. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy Easter to you as well. Always great to celebrate a wonderful day in our faith. So I got to Indianapolis last night after spending Easter with my wife and some family. And but basketball is always on my mind anyway. I don't think I have to go to confession for that. I think I'm okay.
There you go.
It's all good. I'm excited to be in Indianapolis, and we'll see. I know we'll talk a lot about Pirate basketball and catch up on what's going on in the NCAA and NIT tournaments.
Yeah, absolutely. No sins there, coach. No sins there whatsoever. Let's get right to it. Georgia, Seton Hall, the second game of your Final Four. You've been there since yesterday. You attended all the press conferences today. You saw, I'm sure, the shoot-arounds. What are your impressions about this matchup?
Well, first of all, let's go back 2 weeks and just say that oftentimes when you make the NIT, it's a kind of a letdown, disappointment. In Seton Hall's case, and I think Indiana State's case as well, two very bitterly disappointed teams who thought they would have a great shot at the NCAA tournament. Having been in that situation, Brian, the hardest game is the first game. And if you go back to the St. Joe's game, you know what I'm talking about. Down eight with about eight to go. And then Al Dawes,
yes,
decided that he did not want his career to end. Everybody else on the roster, by the way, does have eligibility except for Al. And as you know, Al was brilliant that night. So three great home games by, I was at Walsh twice.
Mm-hmm.
Atmosphere, kind of like the old days. I was expecting PJ and Mickey Crowley to come walking through the doors, not arm in arm, by the way.
Never.
So now we get to a point where we're in the semifinals of the NIT here at, as you said, historic Hinkle Fieldhouse, sold out crowd tomorrow night, 9,000, can't get a ticket, in part because Indiana State is also part of the field, mm-hmm. and they're 75 miles away. And there's only eight college basketball teams playing in April, and we started the year with 363. So great accomplishment for the Pirates. They're playing against a Georgia team that has three freshman starters. Normally, we would say that's great for Georgia. They're going to be good next year, except the day after the season, who knows who puts whose name in the portal, right? So
right.
Different than it used to be. But let's give these guys from Seton Hall a lot of credit because bitter disappointment on Selection Sunday night, rallied a little bit against St. Joe's, better against North Texas, and certainly just blew the doors off of UNLV. And now they find themselves trying to stretch their season out.
And you're watching a lot of these games closely, even if you're not broadcasting them, Coach. So what has clicked for Seton Hall? That first game, I'm going to say this. Derry Richmond had a little bit of flack from the fans. It seemed like he was a little disengaged, disinterested. Yep. Maybe that's part of his personality, but boy, has he turned it on. And to me, this team is playing as well as it has all year. Was it a case of you know, Kadari and Al Dawes leading the charge or you know, showing them the way? What was it?
I think so. I felt the first game. Listen, I saw Seton Hall play Baylor in December, so I'd already had a familiarity with the team. Mm-hmm. And Kadari's one of those guys, as I watch him from afar, where I kind of feel like he could get 30, 10, and 10 any night he wants. You know, he's that physically gifted. But to his credit, like, you know, I think some of it is – I honestly think some of it was definitely the aloofness of playing in the NIT because he did look somewhat disengaged in that first game. Mm-hmm. But he also plays that way in a sense that he's not out trying to get 30 or 40, which I think he could. He's actually really trying hard to get his teammates involved. And, you know, to me, he's still the alpha. I have sensed he's picked it up since that first game. And it's really, really honestly can I think he's capable of dominating the next two games. Now, good players here. Don't get me wrong. There's good players here. Three good teams that are here with Seton Hall. But I like that. Al Dawes definitely playing, I think, the best he's played all year. He's had some great games. Dre Davis, we didn't talk about this. I think I was on your when was I on your podcast last year?
January, I think, right following that Seton Hall St. John's game.
Okay, so I think that Dre Davis is probably one of the most underrated players in the Big East. I thought he had a very consistently good. You know, you're going to get 14 and 7 every single night. Yeah. You know, just put it down in the book. And so he's been good. At Owusu, has been really solid. You know, making more shots than he did in February. And I, honestly, one of the other guys that really impressed me early on and certainly keeping an eye on him, even though Bediako, I think, was in foul trouble one or two of these games, Jaden is a big boy. And I think looking back on the overall season, he's had a terrific year. Their starting five is very good. I also seem to remember that this is a team, I think, that beat UConn by 15.
I don't think the selection committee took that into consideration.
No, they may not have. They may not have. But I mean, so these guys have some chops and they're playing well, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and like you said, they're one of eight teams remaining in both tournaments, one of four remaining in the NIT. Adewusu is a player who, boy, did he have some low moments this year. But like you said, averaging 12 points, 6 rebounds in his last three games in the NIT, he gives them another charge, another element. When Bediako's not in foul trouble, when Adewusu is wreaking havoc, do you see a team that matches up well with Georgia?
Yeah, I do. Now, they're very athletic. They're deeper than Seton Hall. Isaiah Coleman is not on the trip because of bronchitis, unfortunately. So they're going to be thin again. They've been thin a bunch this year. But certainly the starting five, and maybe they get something out of Sanders and, you know, Everett Hutchins is back.
Yep.
So they can go 7 right now, probably safely. After that, it's a little sketchy because some of those young guys haven't given them a lot. So they've got enough, but yeah, Georgia's a very inconsistent team. Three young guys playing a lot. I think it's a great matchup for Seton Hall. Georgia has a deeper team. I think Seton Hall has a better starting five. Foul trouble is always an issue, when you don't have a deep bench. So I think it should be a very competitive game. Kadari Richmond's the best player on the floor for both teams. So as he goes, probably how Seton Hall will go.
So how do you think Georgia and head coach Mike White will try to defend or slow down Richmond?
Good question. A lot of they have depth, as I said, with athleticism. They don't necessarily have their backcourt is not big. You know, the little guy, Hill comes to mind, the lefty from Houston. I'm so sorry. I can't remember his name right now. The transfer from Niagara.
Noah Thompson.
Thompson's been he's a really good offensive player. You know, probably by committee, they do play zone. They do play a matchup zone. They actually play a similar zone to Seton Hall, probably 25% of the time. They played a lot of zone against Ohio State on the road. I think you could see zone in this game in order to keep Kadari out of the lane. But when you go zone against Seton Hall, you better know where Dawes is because he's obviously on fire. Dre and Adewusu have been shooting the ball well lately. Adewusu's been knocking down threes. So I think you'll see some zone, but don't mix it up.
Yeah, you know what? Dawes caught fire the last game against UNLV, hit three straight threes to start the second half. If he's clicking like that, you know, Davis has had a chance to hit some threes lately and Adewusu. One player of note for Georgia, I'm just curious. Yeah. He hasn't played in about a month. Jabri Abdul-Rahim, South Orange kid, went to Blair Academy, hasn't played since like March 5th. Is he even with this team? Is he eligible?
He is. He's a nice young man. I met him today because I know his dad, obviously, Sharif. And he was there, but he was not practicing. I do not think you'll see him. Ankle injury, he's out. You will not see, barring a miracle, I do not think you'll see Jabril tomorrow night.
Okay, yeah. The former New Jersey Gatorade State Player of the Year in 2019. Yeah. So that could be good news for Seton Hall there. So Coach, you know, the edge, is there any edge in coaching that you see in this game between White and Holloway?
No, I don't think so. Both are good young coaches. Mike White's been at Louisiana Tech. He's been at Florida. He's been at Georgia. No, I don't think so. I mean, not that I can tell anyway. No. Let me use a big Brooklyn College word. No discernible edge here either way. You know, I tell people I went to BC, you know, then I have to tell them I went to Brooklyn College. No, I don't see no real edge here. Both are very solid coaches.
Okay. Last thing for Seton Hall, three keys for them to win. If you had to have three keys.
Oh man, that's a good question. You know, keep Georgia out of transition. They're very athletic and they like to push it and run. So get back in transition. You know, anytime they're making threes, they're dangerous because they do have some guys that can do it. And I would say, you know, really the top key, the main key is just how well Kadari is engaged in the game. If he's engaged in the game, then he becomes the X factor because, you know, I feel like he's got NBA potential. And I say potential, but, you know, he's got to play that way. And he's capable. I mean, he's definitely capable. I saw what he did against Baylor. He was, you know, that night in December, he was arguably the best player on the floor for about 30 minutes of that game.
Yeah, he has shown at any given time, especially the last two games, he could take over games at will. Last game, he had 21 straight points for Seton Hall that he either scored or assisted on in the first half. That's how much Kadari can impact the game. So, all right, good points there, Coach. And I'll throw one more in there, you know, rebounding, because that's where Bediako, that's where Seton Hall, you know, gets its game. Offensive rebounding, second best team, offensive rebounding team in the Big East behind Seton Hall or behind St. John's. So that'll be something to keep an eye on too, the boards.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And as I said, I'm a big fan of Jaden's. He's had a surprisingly good year. I don't think anybody could have expected him to be nearly a double-double. He's not a double-double, but he's a guy that's capable. And in a league like the Big East, they absolutely needed his girth, and he provided that.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And staying out of foul trouble.
Yes.
No doubt. So how about the other Final Four matchup? Let's say Seton Hall gets there. They would be facing one of Indiana State or Utah. And listen, Indiana State, like you said, they're going to have a home court advantage. I understand that their fans gobbled up a bunch of these seats. So you'll see a bunch of sycamores there, no doubt.
You will. There's no question. And they are a good basketball team. Like Seton Hall, they were very disappointed that they didn't get into the field. You may not be old enough, Brian, to remember this, but my 95 team at Manhattan College was in a similar situation. We dominated the regular season in the MAC. We blew out St. Peter's twice in the regular season. We played them in the championship game. They play out of their mind. We played well. They played great. We lose in double overtime. We sit around for a week. There was no net rankings back then.
Mm-hmm.
Many decided that despite the fact that we did not have a difficult non-conference schedule, that we deserved to be in because we were a dominant team in our league. We got in and we knocked off Oklahoma. I feel same way about this team. This Indiana State team can definitely play with the big boys. They're capable of beating Utah. Utah's a good team. The matchup in this game is going to be the length of Utah. 2 7-footers. Brandon Carlson, very good player, probably an NBA player. Very good guard. And the transferred Davon Smith from Georgia Tech. This kid has 5 triple-doubles this year. It's the most ever in the Pac-12, beating Jason Kidd. And he's one away from an NCAA record, 6 triple-doubles.
That is good company.
Yeah, and he's pretty much like a college Westbrook. He's not a great shooter, but he dominates the game with his quickness and athleticism. So Utah, a very capable team, good team. Indiana State, one of those fun mid-major teams that probably if they got into the NCAA tournament, could have done damage. They got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Robbie Avila.
Yes.
A terrific passer player. Reminds me of George Niang, who's now in the NBA.
Okay.
Crafty big man, and he's a problem. But the length of Utah and the savviness of of Indiana State's offense is going to be interesting to see if Indiana State can run their stuff against 2 7-footers.
You know, five starters averaging double figures for Indiana State. Robbie Avila. See, you went Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I was going to go, you know, a reincarnation of Kurt Rambis. How's that?
Well, you like the goggles. We can do an all goggle team if we
Yes.
James Worthy, Kareem. Some of the nicknames are Larry Blurred, Larry Nerd, Robbie Buckets. He's a really good player. He really is. He's a 6'9", kind of a, I guess you could say he's a poor man's Jokic. He's that kind of.
Okay. Yeah. He's not going to be the guy that you pick first if you're just walking up to a playground coach, you know, a little game at Rucker, huh?
Well, you might because he's 6'9", but
Okay.
you're not going to expect, you take him fifth. No, take him fifth. But no, I know what you're saying. But he certainly doesn't look the part, but he's a very good college player.
No doubt, no doubt. So that game's at 7. The Seton Hall, Georgia game's at 9:30. How much are you looking forward to this Final Four, and what's the atmosphere like out there?
Well, it's going to be great. I mean, the NCAA and ESPN have really like banded together to make this. I'm watching the women's NIT right now. It's called the WBIT.
Yes.
Illinois is playing Washington State. Villanova played earlier. I don't know what they did, but we watched them warm up before I left. And you know what? There's only eight teams playing men's basketball right now. So if you know anything about me or you watch me on TV, it's about the joy of the game for me. And the fact that you have these four teams competing for a title here in Indy at Hinkle Fieldhouse. And then you got four more. I'll leave Friday morning and head to Phoenix for the Final Four. To me, it's wonderful. I get to call college basketball. I get to sit courtside. They pay me to do it. I'll eat a really good meal tonight in downtown Indy, and I have no complaints because this is what I love doing.
A little steak at St. Elmo's there.
We're going to Izzy and Harry's,
Okay.
which is the sister's restaurant. It's the same owner, and they do serve the St. Elmo steak in there, but they have better TV, so we can watch Caitlin Clark.
Izzy and Harry's. Okay. So
Yes,
next
right
time I'm
next
in
door.
India, I might not be able to get a reservation at St. Elmo's. So Izzy
Right.
and Harry's.
Izzy and Harry's, it's the same owner, same steak, same shrimp cocktail. Looking forward to it.
I'll take it. I'll take it. All right. Good advice, coach. If there's one thing that I can get from this, basketball and food advice. Good.
Now Steak and Shake is open 24 hours just in case. But that's on the corner here. But other than that, we're good. I'm looking forward to dinner tonight and watching some basketball.
Awesome. Awesome. So as you look, you know, and you see the other bracket, you know, the main draw, the NCAA tournament. We've talked about UConn. You know, what impresses you the most about this team as they try to make history and become the first team to repeat since Florida in 06, 07?
Two words, Danny Hurley.
Damn.
The guy is relentless. I texted him last night and I said, "You are a machine. You remind me of Mike Tyson in his prime. Like he's taking no prisoners." He could get knocked out by Buster Douglas this weekend. It could happen.
Okay, and maybe that's in the form of NC State, the way, you know, it brings up shades of 1983 here.
Could be, but I think you're going to have to knock UConn out. You're not going to, UConn will not sleep on NC State. Their preparation will be just the same as if they were going against Villanova at the Pru. And that's what really impresses me. Now, obviously, their team impresses me. The big guy and Caravan and Castle, kid from Far Rockaway, and Newton, a great point guard. But what impresses me most, and he's a good friend. I've known Danny and Bobby since they were kids. But what impresses me is Danny's relentlessness, even though he's got one title. I talked to him during the summer, and he said, "Coach, do you think I can win with young players? I'm gonna have to play three young guys. What do you think?" And I said to him, "By the time you get to December, January, February in the Big East, they're not gonna be young anymore. You're gonna have them all summer and fall." But the fact that he was thinking about his team in June and July is an indication of how driven the guy is. He's never satisfied with great. It's always got to be a little better.
Yeah, I said it last year after they won the national championship, after the parade. I said it on my podcast. He will win multiple national championships. I said it may happen next year. It may not, but it's going to happen. And I said this in January. I said, this team is better than last year's team. And to me, the reason why they're better now and much better, they're a machine, is because Stefan Castle is doing it at both ends of the court. And like you said, you know, he's playing like a lottery pick, where back in December, you know, he was playing like a freshman.
Yeah, and I think Andre Jackson was phenomenal, and he was an NBA player. This kid is a lottery pick. There's a difference, you know. And obviously, Andre had a lot more experience, but Klingon is dominant. You know, he's been an amazing
best of his career. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Caravan, you know, to paraphrase our good friend Bill Raftery, he's got big onions. You know, he really does. There's never a shot that you feel like he can't make when he's open. And, you know, Newton's one of the best point guards in the country. He's right there with Kolick and the Shed, top three point guards. Maybe Braden Smith, but certainly Tristan is really good. And again, it gets back to Danny because Danny will not let them let up. You know, I mean, NC State could play the game in their lives and beat them, but it won't be because UConn has let their guard down. That's why, to me, he's Mike Tyson. Danny's a killer.
And coach, he talks the talk. He walks the walk. I mean, since he came in there, you know, you better get us now, right? You better get us now because it's coming. And now that he's here, he's saying things like, well, we have an elite offense. We have an elite defense. We're an elite team. Nobody gives us respect. You know, no matter how much they win, he keeps talking and he keeps backing it up. This is not normal.
No, well, the Hurley family in that regard is not normal because they live with a chip on their shoulder.
Mm.
No, if you know Coach Hurley, Bob Hurley.
Very well.
Bobby is a player. Bobby is a coach. Now Danny is a coach. There's a perpetual chip that will never go away because they're Jersey City. You know, Brooklyn's similar, but Jersey City's even more tight-knit. And we have 4 million people in Brooklyn. You know, same kind of people, but Jersey City is a tight-knit, you know, Kennedy Boulevard community. And everybody knows everybody. And Danny's never going to lose Jersey City. That's that chip. You know, his dad had it and Bobby's got it and Danny's got it in spades.
But it's one thing to talk it and say it and say, you know, there's no better basketball program in the country the last 2 years than us. We have the best program.
Yeah.
He's saying it and he's backing it up. His players are backing it up. It's fun to listen to. It's fun to watch. What are the outsiders saying? He doesn't have many, you know, he's the first to say, you know, if I'm your coach, you love me. If I'm not your coach, you hate me. And he's okay with that.
Well, yeah, and he said the same thing about the fan base. Like, I know we got obnoxious fans.
Right.
You know, and I know Danny's like this. He's a ball coach. So if he gets beat, it's going to be they just beat us. You know, they kicked our ass. You know, they got to give him credit. They kicked our ass. And so it's not – there's a bravado there that he backs up, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's also a humility of knowing we can't be as good as we need to be unless we put the work in every day. Because if we don't and we get beat, it's going to be our fault. Or if somebody makes 45% of their threes, you know, goes 16 of 31, and then they could get beat. But they're not going to get beat because they're overlooking NC State. Let's put it that way.
How does he keep finding ways to motivate these guys and keep them sharp no matter who they're playing?
His father was a genius at this stuff. You know, his father is very – I know Bob well, and you probably do too. And Bob has a way of – Danny's a great communicator, you know. He is a great – yeah, well, I'm looking at Jay Wright on TV now, and he's killing it. And Jay's not quite as intense, although he was intense, but in a different way. Danny is an incredible communicator. And when you hear him in press conferences, and I've seen him at practice, he's got a gift of getting to his guys and making them understand what's important, why we have to do these things to be good. And, you know, other guys couldn't pull it off. He can pull it off because you hang on every word he says. I think every press conference I've heard in the last month is like must watch TV from him. Because you just don't know what he's going to say. And then when he says, well, man, I could never say that.
Right.
You know?
And, so do the other coaches hate him? Do they respect him?
Oh, no. I think they you know, when the game is not, when you see Danny in the summertime, he's Jersey Shore, you know, Manasquan, you know, Brick Township, Danny Hurley, you know. When he does relax, I think coaches have a lot of respect for him because he's an authentic guy. He's authentic, you know, and, you know, he takes every slight personally, uses it against you. But he's one of my favorite people. I mean, I enjoy him. I enjoy him.
I do, too. I think it's great theater. I think it's great drama. I can see why other fan bases get to him. Have you talked to him since you say you text him?
Yeah.
Have you said anything to him about how, you know, he engages fans and basically says, hey, you come down here, you're going to get your ass kicked.
No, I haven't, I've probably talked to him twice since, maybe twice since January 1st, but texted him every week. And I don't bother these guys. They're all my friends. And when I think somebody's done something well, I'll text them. I mean, I used to be one of his, I was on call as one of his early sports psychologists. He once told me, I don't want to act like I'm his best friend because I'm not. But, I remember he told me 2 or 3 years ago, he said, I can talk to you because you coach at this level. Sometimes some of the things I can't talk to my dad about because he's only been a high school coach. As brilliant as Bob is, he's one of the greatest coaches I've ever been around. But I remember having talks with him in the summertime about how good he thought his team could be. And his concern was the young guys. And that's been answered. But no, that was my text the other night. I said, you're a machine. You're like Mike Tyson in his prime. That's the only thing I could think of is like, that's what Mike Tyson was like. Like, how is he going to destroy the next opponent? And then Buster Douglas got him in Japan. I'm old enough to remember that.
Yeah,
And
me too. Yeah.
and
No,
so
no one.
it's not going to last forever. They're going to get beat soon, but it's going to be hard to beat them. Purdue, Seton Hall, to me, I love Nate Oates and I love Kevin Keats, but I want to see Purdue UConn Monday night if it's possible.
I think that's the matchup everyone wants to see. One question about Alabama then. They hit a lot of threes. They're the highest scoring team in the nation, 90 points a game. Can they win a game in the 90s against UConn or in the hundreds if it even gets that far? Can they outscore UConn?
They're one of the few teams that can because they can get red hot. The interesting thing about UConn is, and I have some friends on their staff, not UConn, Alabama, have some friends on their staff. They don't shoot mid-range shots. If you look at their shot chart from the last game, there was one mid-range shot, everything was a three or a layup. So going in if you're UConn, they know that too. They're no dummies. So they've got Klingon at the rim. Getting layups is going to be hard. So you got to defend the three. And if you let your guard down, punchers reference again, and they start hitting bombing threes, they can knock you out. So you don't want them to make, like I said, 15 threes. They're capable, but UConn goes in knowing that, so they're going to be very aware of that. But it's a dangerous team because they can score. And I'm of the opinion, Brian, defense is great, but we've seen in this tournament, offense really carries the day. You got to be able to score 80 or 90 because everybody's playing pretty good defense.
When I spoke to Dan, his teams were built on defense, and he said that, as good as his defensive teams were, at some point they needed to score. He's fixed that. I think in some aspects, though, Coach, with all due respect, they have maybe the best defensive player in the tournament in Stephon Castle, who they shut down Boo Booey, and they go ahead and they shut down Terrence Shannon Jr. from Illinois. These are two of the best scorers in the Big Ten in the country. The way they play lockdown defense as well is pretty impressive. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Well, that's the toughness. That's the tenacity, toughness. That's the DNA. That's the chip on the shoulder. That's the athleticism. It's all wound up in one nice package because if they have everything you need to have a great defense, and they do. And then, like on the other end, we know they can get 90 because, Spencer's a monster. Perfect. I mean, he's Danny's alter ego. Castle's gotten better offensively. Caravan's knocking down shots. They rim run, they get dunks on the lobs. They run great offense. They're one of the best executing offensive teams in the country. They're always getting open shots. So, they have to have a letdown to lose, but it's the Final Four, and we've seen this happen before.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean,
Big stage. It's
old
a
enough
big
to
stage.
remember, Coach. I'm young, but I'm a young 54. I mean, UNLV was one of my favorite teams of all time in 1991, and they couldn't repeat because Duke and Bobby Hurley were dreaming about sharks for a year and had nightmares about it and found a way to beat them. We've seen this before. One game situations, right? Whether it was NC State and Houston, whether it was Villanova and Georgetown. How about if we see UConn and Purdue?
Oh, man.
Let's fantasize a little bit and say that's the matchup we want to see. How great would it be to see Edie against Klingon and how they would impact the game on both ends?
Well, that's going to be fun, and I almost feel like they might neutralize each other, and then can Foster Lawyer and Braden Smith withstand the relentlessness? They're two really good players, but can they withstand the relentlessness and athleticism of some of those guards. You know, even Diarra coming off the bench and
Yes.
Castle for sure. You know, who does Castle guard? So I mean, I still give the edge to UConn, but again, like we're talking Purdue here, and they've been dominant too, and they do have a dominant player. And I don't know who's going to win. Don't ask me because I have no idea. I would give the slight edge. You know, I'm not an odds maker, but I would say right now it'd be UConn maybe 3.5, maybe 4.5. You know, that's a guess, you know?
I think that's pretty fair. If it were to go like that, it's a neutral site. I would go four and a half.
And so that's not a lot, you know, it's not like a shoe-in. So, but that's why we can't wait for Saturday and then Monday.
But they keep winning by double digits, coach. Last year, they won by an average of 20 points a game. This year, they're
I'm Tyson.
upping it. They're averaging
Tyson.
28 points a game they're winning by.
That's why I say Mike Tyson. Remember how he would just terrorize guys and knock them out in the first, second round? You know what I mean? McNeely and guys like that, just, you know, no chance. That's the fear factor. Because I think, you know, Villanova had to, my son coached at Villanova, as you know, with Coach Wright. Now he's back at Harvard. But I remember when Villanova, you know, 16, 17, 18, there was a fear factor, but it wasn't like you just knew they were going to carve you up, you know, and slice and dice you with their offense. This team is just so relentless on each end, athleticism, offense, defense, that they are. That's why I say Mike Tyson, because if he can knock you out in the first round, he will knock you out in the first round, Danny.
We've seen a lot of Michael Spinks out there on the other side. No doubt, coach. Any last little nuggets from Indianapolis that you want to share with the listeners out there, that have really struck you about this NIT tournament and this Final Four?
I had a good talk with Shaheen today, and I want him to loosen up a little bit. I know I knew him as a player, as in high school, obviously, and he's a really good coach. And what I like about this NIT is I get to provide 2 hour commercials for the schools. So this is a 2 hour commercial for Seton Hall, you know, all four teams, because again, it's about the joy of the game. We're playing in April. You know, it's not the NCAA Final Four, but it is a championship. And I love to see Shaheen do well. He's a good young coach. He's really growing into this role, and they got to get that practice facility. I know they're building it.
Coming,
It's coming, and then you know they can find a little NIL money somewhere, because I think Shaheen can really, really make an impact at his alma mater. He already has, but I think he's a very good young coach. And I know he doesn't like when I say it, but every time I see him now, I go, "Hey, will you smile?" You know. I don't know how old is he now. He's probably 40-ish, maybe he's a little older, but like, come on, man. You were a great player. Now you're proving to be a really good coach. So
Well,
with that.
it shows that he cares, right? He's
Yeah,
just
it does.
an
That's a,
inspired
that's
individual.
a, just like Danny. Just like Danny. You know, Danny doesn't, you know, Danny, Danny's got a little more experience and as a head coach. But no, really impressed with Shaw. His team plays hard for him. And it's gonna be fun to watch them on Tuesday night.
All right, coach, I'm going to hit you with one last overtime question here.
Okay.
I have this and I have to get it off my chest. Okay.
Yes.
Give me your best, honest answer that you can.
Yes.
Did the Big East get disrespected and did the Mountain West get too much respect?
Yes, and yes. And I'm just telling you, it's all subjective year to year. It all depends on who's on a committee in a given year. I was surprised there wasn't more than one coach, ex-coach, on the committee. I think it was Barry Collier. The former coach at Butler, who's retiring as the AD here at Butler.
Okay, yes.
Martin Newton was on the committee, CM's son. He's the AD at Samford. He's a basketball guy. But I definitely think they mis equated the success of the various leagues. You know, I didn't have a problem with the Big 12. I'm in that league. And like, you know, Oklahoma was like a 7 seed on February 1st, and they had three guys out for the whole month of February, March, and they just fell off the earth.
Right.
So, you know, I didn't have a problem with them, but you know, Seton Hall, well, I mean, all three teams that didn't get in, St. John's had an argument, Seton Hall had an argument, and then Creighton was terrific. Obviously, UConn is UConn. And so yeah, I think they did. I don't think it was this conspiracy. I just think from year to year, you know, my mom's chocolate chip cookies were always, they were usually pretty good. On occasion, she might burn a batch, and then you go, "All right, well, you know, it happens." You know, and I thought that the committee tried hard, and I just don't think they got it. I don't think they made some good selections this year. And That's life. That's why it's subjective.
But you know what, Mom, if she ever listened to this, she does make the best chocolate chip cookies, I'm sure, Coach.
She was good. She was good with the Italian food. Trust me on that. She was nobody better than my mom's Italian food. So all good. And she rarely burned a cookie. So I just
there
want
you
you.
Go. There yeah. you go. All right, Coach. Thank you. Enjoy. We will be listening to the broadcast. Final Four.
Yeah.
NIT, 7 o'clock ESPN at 9:30 on ESPN2.
Yep.
Tuesday night. Can't wait for those. Thank
Looking
you.
Looking forward to it. Always great talking to you.
All right, there he is, Fran Fraschilla, talking everything from Seton Hall to UConn to Izzy and Harry's in downtown Indianapolis to Mom's chocolate chip cookies. He loves UConn. Who doesn't love UConn to win it all right now? I do want to see UConn against Purdue. That would be must-see TV. I also want to see Seton Hall against Indiana State. Two one seeds, two teams who deservedly should have been in the NCAA tournament. One of them, hopefully, will walk away with an NIT title. My money right now is on UConn. It has been on UConn since January. I have been on this bandwagon. I said, you can have the field. I'll have UConn. This team will go down in history as one of the greatest UConn teams ever. They will go down in history as better than last year's team. And they will take their mark alongside 91-92 Duke, 06-07 Florida as back-to-back NCAA champions. And of course, all those great UCLA teams as well. And Seton Hall trying to make history, trying to win their first national championship. And by the way, this would just be their second national championship in school history in any sport since 1953, 71 years. We could have two national champions from the Tri-State and the Big East 1 week from tonight. UConn and Seton Hall. Book it now. That'll do it for this edition of the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. Before we go, I'd like to thank my other sponsor. In addition to the North Jersey Viper Softball Club, I want to say thank you to Mike Supa of Ward White Sotheby's Realty. Mike is a trusted name in real estate. If you're looking to buy, sell, or list a home down the Jersey Shore in Monmouth or Ocean Counties, give Mike a call, 201-988-2577. You won't be disappointed. And by the way, tell Mike Brian sent you from the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. There it is. Final Four, NIT, NCAA Tournament. Enjoy the games, everyone. We will see you 1 week from today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. So long.